Hello, everybody. Welcome to the EDF Sports Podcast. It is sponsored by TheEverydayFan.com. Go check it out. We got everything in the latest up-to-date sporting news. Go check out the shop. We got all your memorabilia needs. Make your man cave what you always wanted it to be. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the EDF Sports Podcast. We have a great edition today as we've got all kind of people in the house tonight. We got Liam and Lamar, my two partners in crime as always. And we got Jack, who is back again after a nice hiatus and of laying on the beach in Florida and just enjoying getting that suntan. And new to the program tonight, we got a special guest, Heath. And he is coming to us, one of our newest additions to EDF Sports. But this guy is on fire right now with his fantasy stuff, everybody. So. And also, if you haven't checked out his TikTok, you got to check it out. The guy knows what he's doing on the TikTok, so that's pretty cool. So check that out, guys. But so today we are entering week six of the NFL. Thursday night we'll kick that off right with a boring game, I believe. Who do we got there? Eagles. Somebody. I knew there was a Tampa team somewhere in there or something, right?
More like not equals die this week, Jesus.
No, it's going to be boring, though. No, Paul's right, though. It's going to be boring. He's right. He's absolutely right. No, but this is why, Liam, but this is going to be for you, though. I'm sticking up for you. I think the game's going to be boring. I think it's going to be low scoring. I think it helps Philadelphia stay competitive because Tom's going to try to work that running game that hasn't been working for Tampa all year. He's going to try to rest that web. And I'll tell you what, Philly might be up for certain parts in this game. And they'll look good, and they'll look competitive. I think Tampa pulls it off. But boring and slow-paced and running the ball and getting Fournette, and maybe Ronald Jones will see the field. I don't know. You know, I don't know how much. Ronald Jones has no effort. That's why he's not getting on the field. He doesn't want to be tackled or hit or whatever. I do believe that Philly looks competitive. And I do believe that it's going to be a long, slow, low-scoring, take-the-under type of game.
The thing is, with Philadelphia, you don't know what you're going to get, Liam. Why? What's up?
Listen, I'm not saying it's going to be boring like for on-field product. It's just every single Eagles game is just an influx of negative emotion. It's never boring. It's never boring. It's usually just heartbreaking. but every bad defense that we've played this year, Jalen Hurts has actually had pretty decent games. And as far as I'm concerned, the Buccaneers' defense right now is not great. So we're going to lose, but I expect us to look, like Jack said, somewhat competitive. I'm not sure. I'd probably take the under, too, but I think it'll be, like, near the spread. I think we can put up 24 points, but that's not saying a lot in today's NFL. And, I mean, you guys know how I feel about the Eagles anyway. Like, I mean, they're completely – my coach is just a fraud. And
Let it go.
Let me lay into it here. So I'm going to take the
go ahead.
I'm just done with the Eagles. We literally beat the Panthers last week in the most pitiful viewer experience of a win that's ever existed. Like, I'm so done with this team, but I'll watch every single game through week 18 because that is what I do.
He's got different colored Sharpies, though, so that's impressive.
Tell us what you think really about him.
Man, this game, as an Eagles fan, just kidding, not, but Liam, I pity you. You've got some great talent, especially at quarterback and wide receiver. Roll Tide there. But I'm taking the over. I'm going to say there's going to be about 59 points in this game. It'll be quite a spread, 38-21 is what I'm saying, but Tom Brady's going to lay it in. He's going to put up a lot of points. He's going to put up a lot of yards. But other than that, I mean, Philly's going to stay in it for a while until it takes off in the fourth quarter.
Great talent at quarterback.
Other than that, I mean, Philly's full of the ball.
Justin Fields just got... That's not a great quarterback.
No, I completely agree with you. That was just a jab with the Roll Tide.
Devonta Smith would be great, though, if he gets someone.
Justin Fields over Jalen Hurts.
I would already take...
I kind of wanted us to draft him.
I did too, because I thought that they kind of, if you're going to run the similar offense, you could find out which one was better. right? In camp, you could see which one was going at it better and making better reads. Whoever's making better reads, you put the other guy on the bench, and what are they? This guy's 65%, this guy's, what, a 67% matter rating? You kind of got the same guy, whichever one goes to the top, you're good with. I liked that, too.
Listen, I was saying it earlier this week. My GM is working on borrowed time right now. He doesn't have the years left to draft another quarterback and go through a whole other rebuilding process after a rebuilding process after he survived so many already.
Yep.
The three first round picks that we're going to get this year, and it's likely that two are in the top 10. He's going to make serious plays at Deshaun, at Russell Wilson, at Aaron Rodgers. Hopefully not. I mean, I love Aaron Rodgers, but I don't want a quarterback that old. I don't think we go for drafting a quarterback next year.
There's not much talent in quarterback in the draft this year anyway.
No, I agree.
Like, what are we going to do, draft Malik Willis? Like, he's kind of, like, already pegged to go to the Lions. I've already, like, envisioned him.
Don't do that to that boy. Don't do that to him.
I'm not doing anything to him. He can revive the Lions. Nobody else has.
Really? He's a magician too. Okay, Lamar, what do you think about that game on Thursday?
Could be a pretty ugly.
Pretty ugly for the Bucks, damn right. Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, I'm taking the Bucks in my pool for 10 points, so I need them to come through.
For 10? Hey Zach, how you doing? Are you there, Zach? Okay, well, he popped on.
I know you're picking the birds.
He, you know what? He's saving himself for a special moment. Okay, look, so that's Thursday night, and that's great. That's I think it's going to be an okay game. And unfortunately, I still have Jalen Hurts as one of my quarterbacks for one of my – so I need him to do something sometime. But so this week, though, it was a pretty interesting week, obviously. We had a lot of things go on, but one of the biggest ones was – The main man for the Raiders, Coach Chucky, he got himself in a little bit of trouble this week. Jack, why don't you tell us what happened, Jack?
I mean, what happened to John Gruden was that emails were released from 10 years ago while he was an ESPN analyst, and they weren't the nicest of emails. Okay, they didn't have very nice expletives to say about many around the league. Okay. With that being said, it's of my opinion that what John Gruden said wasn't nice. Okay, because it wasn't. The words that came out of his mouth weren't nice. Right? They weren't flattering. They didn't, you know, help anyone's opinion of themselves. But they weren't racist. Okay, they weren't racist. They just weren't nice opinions about other human beings. Okay, what John Gruden said. He called Demaris Smith. He said that he's got lips the size of Michelin tires. Well, that's not nice. That's not a nice thing to say about Demaris Smith. And I'm sure the Smith family didn't take it the right way. And there's no other way to take it. They didn't like it, you know, and that he was in a position of respect, you know. But it wasn't racist. It was just an opinion about an attribute that the guy looked like. You know, he used a gay slur to describe Roger Goodell. And I'm sure that, you know, what John Gruden said was he wasn't in the right state of mind. And I'm sure those emails were sent, you know, late at night in the middle of a cocktail or two or three, or, you know, the Gruden's the right way, probably 10, right? It was probably 10 later. He wasn't in the right state of mind. He was very angry. And he was angry about how, you know, negotiations were going on with the NFLPA and all that other stuff, right? Because he had friends in the league. In fact, his brother was coaching the Washington Redskins at the time, and I'll use that team name not derogatively, but that's what they were, right? The team name was the Washington Redskins at the time. And the problem, the reason why these emails are surfacing is because there's an investigation of how poorly the organization has been run prior to that time and since that time. And
they've had a lot of issues in Washington. They have for a long time.
You know, he said that his friend Jeff Fisher was kind of forced into drafting Michael Sam.
But
it's his opinion.
But so, Jack, do you think he should have been fired? Do you think he should have been let go? Was that the right move?
Absolutely not. I don't think he should have been fired. I think that all of those guys that I just mentioned, the Demaris Smith, the Roger Goodell, the Michael Sams, I think they were a victim of a private conversation that went on 10 years ago between the Washington organization and some of his brother's buddies, which, by the way, Jay Gruden was the coach of at the time. The real problem is that organization, who was making women make hotel calls to their sponsors off premises, who was forcing them contractually, to take off their clothing in front of men at certain benefits. That's the problem.
Yes, the Washington Redskins are bad. And I can't believe that nothing has actually been done more. They said there were thousands of emails, and all we've gotten is a few from John Gruden. There's got to be something else in there, too. But I want to know somebody else, though. Who? I mean, you got to have a different opinion, right? Lamar?
Sure.
Heath?
Yeah, different opinions are good.
I want to go last.
Okay.
The minute you I guess I get where you're coming from. It is what he said, black and white racist. No, it is completely racially insensitive, though, when you think about tropes and when you think about historical, stereotypes. When you think of the stereotype, the Michelin Tire lip comment definitely is insensitive, and then it becomes clear that it's insensitive when you go and lie about it and say that the term that you use to call liars is rubber lips, which if you actually look up on Google, you won't find as a term anywhere. There is no dialect where that is a term. So the minute you said that he shouldn't have been fired for it, I think you lost all credibility with the argument. I think he needed to be fired because, should he have been fired for, in your argument, you're saying he shouldn't have been fired for what, he said in these emails. That's fine.
In my argument, I don't believe that he should have been fired for a private conversation. I'm not into cancel culture. It was a private conversation that if never come out, you wouldn't know any of this about John Gruden. And by the way, it only came out not because of him. It came out because of an organization.
That's right. And it also came out because this is, not ironically the time where Demora Smith was now renegotiating his contract with the Players Association. But how about the way that he's then going to be perceived in the locker room? The same locker room that has the only outwardly gay player in the NFL, Carl Nassib. The same locker room that is 70 to 80% black individuals. You can't keep that guy as your head. You're saying he shouldn't have been fired on principle for what he said in the emails. Fine. He should be fired on viewpoint from the players that are going to be doing what he sets out and wants them to do. They did not look like they wanted to be there playing that Chicago game. And that was just after...
Not at all, dude.
And that That's was just bad. After the Demora Smith comment. So then 2 days later after that game, all these other stuff come out.
Yeah.
You really think that they're going to, want to play a season's worth of football and more for this dude? No. So he needed to be fired. And your point to the end that the NFL it seemed like they scapegoated Gruden, I agree with that. But that doesn't mean that when this stuff comes out, since it's out, that you don't act on it.
I also do think it's a bit, convenient, right? That ESPN just found out about this. It's like, you guys probably held these emails like you have for other people.
Oh, yeah.
For a long, long time. You had the information for a long, long time.
Well, you can think about the thing with, what's her name, Rachel Nichols? And
yeah, they had those emails for years.
Same thing. It was a year since that happened. They knew what Nichols said in that.
ESPN has a bad history of doing all kinds of stuff like that. Heath, how do you see this, though? What do you think of Gruden?
Yeah, I'm on Liam's side with his here. I mean, I don't see it as an outwardly racist comment. Yes, it could be perceived that way. However, it's just flat out insensitive. And when you're a leader of a team, you can't expect your players to respect you and go out there and do as you will when, they don't respect you as a person, first of all.
That's true.
It might be insensitive. It might be insensitive, but I'm not going to tell the public what the definition of racist is, which is what ESPN took it upon themselves to do. And they're wrong. You got a bunch of lawyers working at ESPN. Like, a lot of them went to Pepperdine. Some of them are journalists from Northwestern. You have real degrees, and you're lying to people about what the actual term means. You made fun of someone's feature. Anyone can do that. What your mind jumps to afterwards makes you a racist.
I don't know. I mean, I can kind of see it both ways. But Zach, are you there yet? Are you in here, Zach?
The puppy is there.
Zach
is having a little bit of technical difficulties.
Is he? That's all right. Yeah. Let him come back. All right, man. Lamar, let us have it, man.
So, maybe it's not like a racist statement, but it is racially insensitive. Like, black people are known for having big lips. I got big lips. This is what it is. I mean, after hour stuff, but you can't say that type of stuff in this day and age. It's going to get stuff that's not already a big deal, going to get overblown, but that racial thing ain't what got him fired or personal residence. It's the other stuff that came out. They were still allowed to coach after the racial insensitive stuff.
Yeah.
It's the other stuff that came out that hung him up. Like Monday, I was at my kids' practice and I got the notification that some more emails had leaked out. I read it, so this ain't going to be good. He's going to have to step down.
Right.
Yep, 15 minutes later, came through. They wasn't going to fire him, because if they fired him, he still might have been on the hook for the rest of that contract.
That's right. And by the way, Lamar is our resident Raiders man. He has been a Raiders fan for probably his entire life, I would assume. And I had contacted Lamar, because he's a Raiders fan, when it all started, and asked him how he felt about it. And even Lamar at that time said, it is what it is. He shouldn't be fired, whatever. And then it was those couple of days later when it all changed. So as a Raiders fan, how did you start taking this when it all started going down, though? Just as a Raiders fan yourself.
Yeah, I knew it had to happen. After what I saw on Sunday, I said, yeah, this is bad already. I mean,
he lost the team, right?
I mean, the Raiders start slow every game, but the stuff I was seeing, drop passes. Waller dropped two balls. Offensive line sucks as it is already, but I saw a play where three people missed a block on a running play. I was like, yeah, our offensive line bad, but damn, it ain't that bad. I watch missed blocks every day at my son's practicing game. So I was like, yeah, this locker room is done. But the Bears wasn't doing nothing special. Justin Fields completed 11 passes. I'm like,
yeah.
Do you think it was let me ask you this. You're a Raiders fan, right? Do you think it was the Goodell comment? Like, do you think Goodell might have called Dave something like, look, you can handle everything you want in house. You can handle all that stuff in house.
They were forced to an extent, because today, the Raider media won't Mark Davis to make a statement and stuff like that. Like, I mean, really, it'd be nice if he said something, but come on, man. The only statement you got to make to is his team, the players he's paying.
Yeah.
So he made a statement today to one of the beat writers saying that ask the NFL, they got all the answers. So
I don't think it was the Goodell comment. I think Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft have said worse things either to or about Goodell, and it might not have been in a public email chain. It might have actually been to his face. So I don't think it was the Goodell comment. I think it was the whole PR comment, because you know the NFL cares about the shield and they're going to do anything to save face the best they can. Jack, let me ask you this. You know, one of Adam Silver's first big thing that he did as commissioner of the NBA, he's a raw commissioner, new at the job, and he has to deal with the Donald Sterling thing. Do you not think that Donald Sterling should have been punished in the way that he was punished because of the leaked tape, knowing that his players were about to boycott playoff games because he was the one who's signing their checks?
Well, the Donald Sterling thing is interesting, because there's actual racism to back it up. The Sterlings, what they've done throughout the years is, and it's there's proof of it, is they'll charge people, predominantly Spanish and black people, more to live in their condominiums, like double, than white people. and it's been done year after year after year. There's an actual history of racism. It's just not the words. That family is 100% racist. And when those players found that out, what they did, they went, he really doesn't care. And by the way, before Doc Rivers got to the Clippers, they didn't even have normal NBA, you know, type of workout rooms. Doc walked in and was like, what in the hell? Is this from the 80s? Donald Sterling and the Sterlings are 100% racist. There's no question mark to me there. They deserve everything they got because they have shown a history of acting racist.
Yeah. Look, that was a bad situation, and I think my personal opinion is the Raiders will be better. They'll be better for it, having him gone. I don't think he was worth what they were paying him. I think they got win way over their head. And I also think the only person happier this week about any of this happening is Urban Meyer. Because for a chance, somebody has stopped talking about him and his crappy-ass team and all that he's done, because he's still here messing it up. And so right now he's over there wiping his brow thinking he's going to send John Gruden a big old fruit basket. Watch, he's going to...
What that praying does for you, right?
You know what? He's going to hire John Gruden. Watch. He's going to actually hire him, because that's the way Urban Meyer is. So.
As his offensive coordinator?
That's very Urban Meyer-esque.
Damn straight. He's probably been on the phone with him already. He's going to have him here by tomorrow.
Just take his playbook. I mean, Gruden got some good plays.
He needs it, too. He needs it, too.
The question is, the timing of when he called him is bad.
When this first came out, to be quite honest, what I thought was, when I was putting certain pieces together, they didn't necessarily fit. But what I did think was, someone in Washington didn't like Rivera. He didn't like the way the Washington football team was being coached. And they released the statements to get Gruden fired, let him sit out this year, and then hire him. Because they do like the Grudens in Washington. And they'll put up with that.
Yeah, and that's the funny part about morals, is they change real quick.
Wild. Thought. That is a
it is no, but that was the first. I was like, wait, where did these emails come from? Oh, it came from somebody inside the Washington organization, and there were rumors that they never wanted Jay Gruden. They always wanted John, but they couldn't get him out of the booth, and that John would only come out of the booth for the right contract. Raiders gave it to him, but now that person releases these emails, super insensitive. They get him kicked out of there. They wait a year, and he's at a press conference in Washington next season.
I don't put it past anything.
If these emails get released, there's a very good chance Dan Snyder is going to have to sell the team. We'll see what happens. But like, if there are 650,000 emails, there are at least 20 people who are.
Yeah, because all we saw is one.
Listen, I want to say this. Hillary Clinton survived Washington with all her emails. I'm just saying, John Gruden will be just fine. He's headed to the right town.
Okay.
I'm not sure he's ever getting a job in the NFL again. But if he does, I'm very interested to see the person who signs him to that guy.
Okay, we got to move on, because we just went to Hillary onto there. Okay, so...
Just a second, I just want...
So look, this is week 6, right? And things have kind of changed, and they're growing now. We're starting to learn who's who, so we think, you know, how that's going to change, because it's only week 6, and we got 17 of these things, so there's a long way to go. But right now, ESPN has the Bills at number 1, the Cardinals at number 2, the Tampa Bay Bucks at number 3, and the Cowboys at number 4. And just to throw in the 5th is the Chargers. So, Heath, you put out a great TikTok thing every week, which gives us your power rankings. So how do you see this going down, man? What is your power 5? Does it match up to that?
Yeah, I mean, until the Cardinals get knocked off, ultimately, I put them in number 1. Now, that could happen this week. They do have a tough matchup against Cleveland. I do have Bills at 2, Bucks at 3. I've got the Rams in the top 5 at number 4. I think that they're still...
Yeah, why are the Rams not there?
They had a rough game in that loss before then, but they're going to bounce back this week. They've got the Giants, so... They're actually my Super Bowl favorite this year, and I'm still sticking by them. So, and then I've got Chargers at 5. So the Rams.
Oh, the Rams.
I've got Rams,
okay.
Bills
me too.
In the Super Bowl.
I like the Rams too. I think they should have been up there. I don't know why they dropped down that far. But you have so you have the Cards and the Bills switched from what ESPN has. So you got the Cards as number one. Liam, your guy Josh Allen is killing it with those Bills right now. Should they be number one? Are the Cardinals that good?
My guy, Josh Allen.
I'm helping you out there. I'm getting you away from Philly, so go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, my adopted Buffalo Bills and my man Josh.
There you go.
I think the Bills should be number one just based on how well the defense has been playing. You know, their defense was suspect at best last year. It was decent. But they had, like, very, very poor weeks. And now they're playing like they're actually the best defense in the NFL. And, you know, they play suckers the first few weeks of the season. They have two shutouts. It's hard to shut out anybody.
Yeah, they shut them out. So that counts.
That can't go unnoticed. And then you hold the Chiefs to 20 and absolutely look like you're the better team.
Dominated the Chiefs.
Like, you're just, like, up and away the better team on the field where it's possible that the other team has the better team than that team too. Or, as most people would assume, Patrick Mahomes is better than Josh Allen. So, I would put them at number one just because I don't know why the Cardinals, it might be a coaching thing, or maybe it's just that Kyler Murray isn't adept at, like, putting teams away yet. But, you know, they're a missed field goal away from being 4-1 like everybody else. And I don't know why they couldn't get it going last week against the Niners. I just don't know why. So, you know, I need to see them pick it up a little bit going forward, because I know that the Bills are going to stay at an incredible level of offense and at least play defense well enough to where they should be able to win with their normal offensive output. So I'm taking the Bills at number one. I think they're the best constructed team in the NFL, along with actually the Chargers and Browns. I would put as, like, the two teams I think that are the best constructed behind them. And yeah, the Bills are number one for me.
Jack.
The only thing that holds me back there, Liam, is that first week. How do you lose to Big Ben and the Steelers? That's the only thing.
I always throw out week one just because I think it's, like, really hard to, like, find a rhythm in week one, especially when you're not playing a lot of preseason action. Like, my Eagles won 33-6 over week one. Do I think the Falcons are 6 points bad against my Eagles? No. And do I think my Eagles are 32 points good against the Falcons? No. It was just week one. And that happened, and you know, there's a couple other weird things that happened in week one, too, that I just, you know, I completely throw out. If the Bills and Steelers played today, what do you think would happen, Heath? The Bills would beat them by 17 points.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. I mean, week one's it's a toss-up. And that's why I have the Cardinals at one, is just that undefeatedness. Mm-hmm. You know, as soon as they face Cleveland this week, and likely the upset occurs, in my book, they're going to drop.
Okay.
But the Bills are probably your best team in the NFL right now.
Hold on.
Saints and Packers week one. If they played today, the Packers might win 38-3. And yep. Except lostly, they lost that number. So.
I gotta say something, though. You guys keep saying Cleveland, but, man, Baker Mayfield ain't showed me nothing. I mean, he plays the game all the way until the fourth quarter, till it counts. How did that guy say it the other day? Does your team win because of the quarterback? And they're not winning because of their quarterback. I mean, when they win the games, it isn't because Baker done something spectacular, and every time he gets a chance or is told to do something spectacular, he doesn't do it. So I don't see how they can do that, an upset, and I think they're as good as they are. I don't think that they're better and they're having mistakes or it's a fluke or whatever. I mean, I think they are as good as they are, which is down the list to me. But I mean, that's just my opinion right there. Jack, who do you see as number one?
So I don't. So the Cardinals have the best record. They're not the best team. They're really not. Like, but look what they did in Tennessee.
Who's the best team?
Tannehill's fantastic. Tannehill is crushing it this year.
Number five in the NFL.
Tannehill doesn't look like a starting quarterback this year. You can argue if they let bring Mariota back. Let's see. No, but let's be honest though. It doesn't look very good. He doesn't look like a top 10 quarterback like he did years prior. He just doesn't look the part. Now he got the contract. He's not working. Like, Cousins would walk in there and smoke him out of his job, okay? And I only mention him because no one likes him.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins.
He wins the division, no one likes him. Right, that's all I'm saying about Kirk Cousins, right? I'll leave Captain Kirk aside.
I like Kirk.
I like him too.
I stand up for Kirk.
I like him too. Ain't nothing wrong with Kirk.
He just went up in space today. But my whole point is Arizona's got the best record. Okay, but are they the best constructed team? I think we were both saying that they're not. Okay, my Super Bowl prediction this year is the Cleveland Browns against the Los Angeles Rams. And we don't know anything about any team, by the way, because you only know something about teams that get knocked down. And the only thing that knocks down every team is weather. When the weather gets cold, football gets different. Injuries happen, bones get a little bit colder. When they make it out of the cold and into the playoffs, now longevity matters, right? And at the end of the day, can your team sustain the cold and then into the length of the season? I don't know that about any team. I know that Arizona went to Tennessee. Everybody thought Tennessee was fantastical. They weren't ready for them. Tannehill didn't seem to have any
I have faith anything. That Buffalo can play in the cold, though.
Week one.
No, right, I do, and I believe in Liam, too. Liam said week one, right? So Buffalo does look great. Buffalo looks like a really good, great football team right now, and they should play well in the cold. Should play. We're going to find out how well teams are constructed once it gets cold, once the game slows down. I want to see the 17-14 winners. I know it's not interesting, nor is it sexy, but it matters.
Lamar, who's the best team in football right now?
Well, I got the Bills right now. They're playing good on offense and good on defense. And look like they're ready to take that next step, but still got 12 more weeks.
Does anybody know, do the Bills play the Cards this year? It would be a good game. Or do we have to wait for a Super Bowl?
They played last year. Remember the Hail Mary?
Oh, that's right. In the end zone with what's his name, grabbing it over three guys. Randy Mostam, right? Is that what it's called?
And guess what? We'll find out this week, right? Because Arizona went into Tennessee and smashed Tennessee, right? We all agree that was week one. I understand it was week one. Well, Buffalo happens to go into Tennessee this week. So maybe if they get their smash on, we can move them up. Right?
Look, there's the number five team, though, that they have, and I don't know where you had them at, Heath, but the Chargers, and I'll say San Diego Chargers, but anyway, the Chargers, they have a quarterback, Justin Herbert, who's been tearing it up. I mean, flat out tearing it up. So are they a five team? Are they better than the Cowboys? I know that game already happened, but again, that was early. That was then. So are they better than the Cow? Aren't they better than the Cowboys? Are they better than Tampa Bay right now? I mean,
I've got them at five. I've got them right above the Cowboys. But yeah, Justin Herbert is proven to be the truth. He's putting up some points. He is third in Vegas odds right now for MVP voting, and he's young. He's got a lot of road ahead of him.
Speaking of that, that is a perfect way to go here. So if you had to start a franchise right now, would you take Justin Herbert or would you take Josh Allen?
Ooh, that's a toss-up. I would take Josh Allen for the fact that this man studies the sport. He has grown. He was a walk-on at a junior college, developed and went to where did he go? Wyoming?
Wyoming.
Yep, and has grown. He was terrible his first couple of years. Then all of a sudden, out of the blue last year, he shows up because the man talks about practice and gets down
there. Practice? We talking about practice? Oh. Liam. Who would you take? I know who it's going to be. Come on.
As you know, I'm founded on take integrity. I thought Josh Allen was going to be great at when Heath referenced. He sucked his first couple of years. I was like, look, I'm standing by this guy. Look, I'm standing by this guy. You know, fun story. The only person who can attest to this is my friend Connor. But back in about 2013, 2014, When Kawhi Leonard was just a defensive basketball player, and I was like, look, dude, like, I'm telling you, this dude's going to be, like, one of the best players of the upcoming generation. You know what he does next year? He wins finals MVP. Still not great on offense. What does he do the year after that? He starts becoming this offensive, like, master almost overnight. And, like, you know, Kawhi Leonard's had to be one of my favorite players ever since because I was so right about him. Well, that is Josh Allen. I've been so right about him, and his measurables are so good, and his arm is a freaking bazooka. And I love the way that he wants to improve, and I love the way that he's really embraced small town Buffalo, because he's the quarterback that Buffalo needs. He's as Jack knows, he's a get it out the mud kind of guy, and he has the arm to plow that football through the snow, through the cold. I'm taking Josh Allen. I think okay. He's just that much more measurable than Justin Herbert, even if Justin Herbert has the accuracy now.
And by the way, just to state, you know, you got on me last week about saying that he would beat Mahomes by 14 points or better. I'm just saying, I think it was like 17 or something like that. So, you know, I got Josh Allen's back too. Jack, who would you take to start a franchise?
I mean, not to sound boring, but I'll listen. I think it's Josh Allen as well. But I think it's Josh Allen because
hey, don't have to be boring if it's true.
I think he's more mobile. I think he's more mobile than Herbert, not by much, but I think he is. I think that the game comes a little bit easier. Herbert's not as quick. He's not as quick footed. He maybe straight lining is as fast, but he's not as quick footed. He's not a natural runner. I think Josh Allen, the play could absolutely fall apart, and he'd find a way get positive yards. It's also, when the game was really quick for him, he was also able to move the ball. Now it's slowed down, and you know, right now I believe it's Allen, Herbert, and then Mahomes. Mahomes has had these tools for so long that he should have beaten the Bills, didn't. Should have beaten the Chargers, didn't. Like Mahomes is starting to fall behind a little bit.
And is that your top three?
Yeah, that's where's Brady? For right now, that's my top three.
Where's Brady? Yeah, is he rocking in the chair? He ain't that bad yet. Come on.
I'm just saying, out of the young bucks.
Oh no, yeah, that would right that's going to be my next one as well. But
and I know that Kyler Murray, you can argue for him too. I think he's my argument for against the weather. When he gets banged up and it gets a little cold and it gets a little slippery and that groin gets a little tender because he's moving around, Kyler's a small guy.
Kyler's young Russell Wilson. That's all it is.
Nothing to get deep. That's Russell's a good. That's a little bit thicker. That's a good little bit one, meatier, though. And he went to Wisconsin.
I like that.
Wisconsin's always been cold. You talk to them right now. They're buying winter coats up at the Burlington Coat Factory. They're doing it. I promise you.
Lamar, who are you starting it with?
They got their cheese orders in for December.
I'm going against everybody else. I'm going with Herbert.
All because
I liked him in college. I kept telling people in college when he was in college. Oh, he ain't gonna be no good pro. I said, yes, he is. Oregon didn't have good receivers. They drop a lot of passes in Oregon, but I can see the way he was processing information against the defense. So I'm like, but either way, you can go either way with one. I'm just choosing. Flip a coin.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're not gonna lose if you chose either one of them. You can kind of close your eyes and pick, and you're gonna hit something good. But so we can all agree though that these are the two of the top young guys out there right now, right? So who are we going to put – and again, we're not going to do Brady or Rodgers because they're older. I'm talking about this new class, this new group. Is there anybody who can come up who is looking to be just like them? Like, can Fields be just like them? Can
Fields will be – is it Murray? Nagy quits holding them back.
Your past two number one picks are going to be right up there, Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence can when he gets an adult in the room. No, but by adult, let me be clear. I don't care about your nonsense off the field. I don't care about your words and emails. Let me be very clear. Okay? What I am clear about is you teaching a kid a direct offense. Not you bringing in some of your Ohio State stuff and then you bring in another offensive coordinator and we talk on the sideline on 3rd and 7. I don't like that. Because you're confusing a kid who was throwing in his third year at Clemson interceptions to Boston College linebackers. By the way, this is not your father's Boston College linebackers, okay? Right? Those Doug Flutie days are over. Right? They just don't have the talent there at Boston College. And Boston College is a fantastic college. Send your kids there. But just the linebackers don't have the athleticism to where Lawrence should be throwing. I mean, dude, they're jumping 2 feet off the air. You got a little bit of paper in between their feet, and you threw the pick there. You're not reading defense as well. You need someone who's a real Josh McDaniels, right? Yeah. Somebody that's going to sit there and teach the kid the X's and O's and how to look off. The kid's got talent.
You can see he does. You can see he has it and he will. And also, like, 2 games ago when they let him go, you really got to see Lawrence. Now, he lost the game, but you got to see him play his game that time, where he was rushing, he was scrambling, he got out of the pocket, you know. He did the things that he did at Clemson, and it really looked like he was comfortable. Then Urban goes and gets a lap dance, and it all goes out the window.
Yeah, but you can't have his offensive coordinator apologizing to his wife on Monday.
No, that's true. I mean, that's
that was a shot.
That's true. So who else is in this group though? Lamar, tell me who else you have as one of them young quarterbacks.
I think if the Bears find a coordinator or a coach that's going to cater to what Justin Fields do well, I think he can be in that group as well. But they got to let him do what he do. You can't make him a 100% quarterback when he needs to be in that shotgun spread so he can use his speed and make quick decisions.
The Bears need to hire Eric Bieniemy.
Can I argue that Matt Nagy likes Justin Fields for a second? I think he likes him. I think he saw him in practice. He knew how athletic he was. Okay? But he looked at their schedule, and he went, week one, Rams. And he saw what happened in that Buffalo preseason game where the kid didn't see his backside, and he got absolutely smoked. And he went, God, who's on that backside? Oh, O'Donnell's on that side. Right? I'm making the argument that he wasn't going to start him in the season because the defenses were tough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't think he wanted to even start him against Cleveland.
Well, his problem was his mouth, though. He didn't know how to convey things. So every time he opened his mouth, he said something stupid. And we all, even us novice guys, understood what was going on when we saw him standing back there all by himself getting plummeted. You know, and when you do that, and then you don't come out and you don't be honest with this and go, you know, I really jacked this one up. And actually, he should have looked at Fields and went, I apologize. I apologize for not having you ready, for me not being ready, and then he could have went on. But he started making up these goofy excuses and saying this and that, and that's where he went wrong on that one.
Well, Nagy's an athlete. He's a little goofy. Nagy was a monster quarterback in his day. He holds a ton of records. Not at the collegiate level, but at the high school level, and he went to college sports. Like, he knows the position. So when you start doing silly things. I'll tell you right now, he hated Mitch Trubisky. Hated him. I don't care. You can spend all day in the room. You know, even the great Tom Brady, who likes to study tape, says, look, I'm going to spend a little bit of time here, but I shouldn't have to spend all day.
He hated them so much that the 1 year he played to Trubisky's strengths, they went 12-4.
Yeah.
See, he hated Trubisky so much. Trubisky said something on the sideline, and Nagy looked right at him and told him to shut the F up.
Listen.
Yeah, I mean,
if Josh Allen for any reason goes down, watch Brian Daboll get Trubisky a contract with another team for a chance to start.
He'll start Houston tomorrow.
That's all I'm saying. Justin Fields needs someone who's going to put him in a good position, not only to succeed on the football field, but also that's going to let the football team succeed around him, which I'm not sure Nagy does. Nagy, I understand that there are some coaches who don't call plays on either sides of the ball. I, also know that those coaches have tangible effects on the team. I think you can, it's not even in the NFL. I think the most obvious example of that, at least for the past few years, would have been Coach Orgeron at LSU, who doesn't, you know, call plays on either side of the ball, but is so good at recruiting and galvanizing a team that he brought it to a national championship, even if that team was loaded. Nagy doesn't do that. He stops calling plays. The team immediately gets better with Bill Lazor. What else is Nagy doing on that team? He's not doing anything with the defense. He's not doing anything with the quarterback. You said he's, you know, this great high school quarterback. Then he should have an idea of how the quarterback position works. And he doesn't seem to know how to put people in advantageous situations to, mesh with their skill sets. It seems like maybe he's calling plays as if he was the quarterback still. Like, every quarterback's like him. I never saw him play, so I can't answer to that.
Yeah.
But, you know, if he's not going to call plays, he needs to bring a tangible effect to the team, and I don't think he does.
Right. Go ahead, Heath. I know you want to say something.
Oh, no, I was just going to answer your question earlier. I mean, I agree with Liam there. You've got Baker as well. I mean, you talk so much trash about him, but the guy had 122.5 passer rating whenever he played
Aaron Rodgers, who had a lower rating this past game. He also had 300 yards passing.
But he has zero comebacks. Zero times when he has the ball to take that ball down and score to win a game or tie it or whatever. He can't do it. And
he also had zero timeouts with 45 seconds left. It's kind of tough. I'm just saying, it is a little difficult.
Well, I mean, but yet we saw Brady, we saw Rodgers do it in 30 seconds. Now, I know those are great quarterbacks, but at the same time.
You got over $100 million. They would have one timeout, and you've got $100 million on the defensive side.
Stefanski ran it on 3rd and 10. Like, that says enough about what he thinks Baker was going to do in that sort of moment.
Yeah, exactly. I've also got Joe Burrow, man. Him and Ja'Marr Chase are the duo.
Man, that's that is going to be an interesting one to watch right there. If that team stays like it is, and I could see them really popping up and surprising somebody within the next year or so.
Paul, remember what I said before the draft? I said if the Bengals take Ja'Marr Chase, don't be surprised if they hire Joe Brady in the next year. I was the first one on that. I'm sticking with it. I don't think Zach Taylor's the guy. And while their owner, Mike Brown, is the cheapest owner in all of sports, you know they're the only football team. The only NFL team without an indoor practice facility. They practice outside under a freeway in Cincinnati.
Wow.
It ain't great.
Wow.
I don't think Zach Taylor's the guy. And as soon as Joe Burrow went there and Ja'Marr Chase went there too, I said that Joe Brady's going to be that next head coach. Bring back that little LSU, make a little Ohio LSU, which is kind of funny.
That would be interesting.
So, that's my goal. And then I can see the Bengals really taking off from there. Because with the Browns' question maybe at quarterback, like right now I think you'd have to say that Joe Burrow is the second best quarterback in the division. Right now you might take him – you'd probably take him over Baker Mayfield. I think the Browns would. So, in that essence, once they figure out the coaching and build on that defense a little more, the Bengals are going to be really, really good. And they're going to be ready to win playoff games sooner than I think people think.
I agree. I've never been a big Bengals fan at all, but those two. And also, I mean, look, Joe Burrow, I never cared for at all because of the SEC and all that good stuff. But I can see what he does. I can see his skill, especially when he gets together like he did with his old teammate there. And they're going to kill it. They're going to kill it for years. And they're going to be a problem for a lot of people. And if they get their team going a little better, I mean, they need to be watched out for sure.
I respect Joe Burrow because unknowingly he paid my heat bill in January when he went into Tuscaloosa and smoked Alabama. So he doesn't know he did that for me. But I gotta respect a man that pays another man's heat bill in the winter without knowing it. That kudos to you, Mr. Joe Burrow.
Always good. Always good. Real quick, Heath, give us some sleepers for this week for those who are doing their fantasy. And Jack, tell us those guys, Heath, right now, who you got to pick up right now.
Let's see here. Well, you've got Williams in Kansas City. If you need a running back, he's probably available in your league unless someone else is watching.
Do you think they're going to run more now that Mahomes is a little wild?
With Hilaire out, that he's going to fill the void. He did it pretty well the other night. So, I mean, he might not be your top pick, but if you're desperate for a running back, he's going to get you points because he's going to get reps.
Got you. Jack, do you have any sleepers?
I've got two sleepers, and I have a don't touch.
Ooh, okay, do tell.
Don't you dare fall for Devontae Booker.
Uh-oh.
Don't pick him up. No, I know Saquon Barkley's out. I know he's out. But you're playing against the Rams. You got a terrible offensive line. Right? Don't fall for the Booker. Don't fall for the projection, 11 points. Don't do it. I wouldn't do that. Okay.
I agree.
Okay, let's roll with this one. I like Matt Jones. I think he's a smart quarterback. I think he's found his connection with Kendrick Bourne. Okay, Dallas's defense, they'll probably move Bourne around. They don't know who the number one wide receiver is in New England, and you guys don't either. But I think Kendrick Bourne's getting there. He was a top draft pick, didn't work out so much in San Francisco. They moved him over. He's in New England. He's doing better now. And if you guys are looking for a running back for the end of the year, I really do believe this Ramondre Stevenson reps in New England is going to start to be something.
I hope so.
There's a lot of injuries. The kid looked good in preseason.
Yeah.
I do believe who's there? Help me out with their starter running back right now from Alabama.
Is it White?
Damien Harris.
Damien Harris. I think he's going to get worn down. I think Stevenson's the guy that you're going to want to own, and you can still get him because people aren't looking. Am I right?
I actually have him, and he's been just wasting on my bench because I thought he was going to come out after preseason. So I just kept him there. Now, can I switch gears real quick? Because there's a couple things I want to talk about because the NBA is in preseason, and you know how much I love the old hard court there. And there are two situations going on right now that I need you guys to tell me something about. Because there's this guy in Philadelphia that seems to have walked back in the doors, and I think it's all full of crap. And I think Maury bit this one, and he's going to have to bite it big time now because how are you going to walk back into that locker room after saying the stuff that him and the big man said back and forth to each other, all the stuff that been said about the organization itself? Liam, please, how is he coming back? How is that going to work?
No, sirs, baby.
Either way, Paul, I really respect your loyalty to the bit on this one because you are so wrong. This whole time you've been saying it's Daryl Morey's fault. Daryl Morey's done nothing wrong.
He asked for the world. He said, Do you want Ben Simmons? Give me your starting five and your next born son, and I will send you Ben Simmons.
That's his job. Like, good. Like, I don't care that these teams aren't willing to get
up. But it backfired.
How?
Because he got shit.
Look, let me interject. I don't think that's his job. I think your job as the general manager is, yes, to get the best that you can for a player within reason. Understanding your market is a big deal. Now, I asked somebody the other day just on the street. I go, hey, would you trade Ben Simmons for Draymond Green? And they laughed at me and said, no, Draymond Green's better. That's what the street believes. The street believes that Draymond Green is better. Okay? So what he was trying to ask for, he was never going to get. And as far as oh, well, he's a first-round pick. Well, Draymond's not. So can we get rid of that, too, that whole farce that Ben Simmons a first-round pick? Because he's not. He was a mace. He was a mistake.
First off, I don't want fucking Draymond.
You can't get him.
Second off, I don't care what the streets say. Listen, this is the best case scenario. You want to know why? Because
Allen Iverson comes back.
Brian Windhorst went on ESPN, and Brian Windhorst, who grew up covering LeBron while he was in high school, because when Windhorst was in college, and then went, you know, starts working in Ohio. Because he knows LeBron better than anybody in the sports media realm. Starts, and he's a mouthpiece for Clutch Organization, for Clutch Sports. He says on ESPN a couple weeks ago that by us not paying Ben Simmons his money, we are waging war with Ben Simmons. And that Ben Simmons is apt to sit out the entire year. He made it 2 weeks into training camp. He made it 2 weeks into training camp. And listen, I'm Ben Simmons' like, biggest critic while also somewhat defending/supporting him, okay? Ben Simmons cares about two things, money and reputation. You want to know what reputation didn't, like, serve last year? James Harden didn't care about his reputation in Houston, all right? He built up enough equity there, and he said, I don't care about my reputation. I'm going to handle this how I want to handle this. He gets shipped to Houston. Brooklyn. Ben Simmons won't do that because his reputation and his personal PR has already sunk, not only in the city, but in the NBA. He's going to play games the best of his abilities until he is traded, knowing that eventually he will be traded. It can only build his stock from here. Ben Simmons doesn't have the clout, doesn't have the cachet, and doesn't have the contract urgency to facilitate a holdout or like a on-court holdout like James Harden did. He's not that kind of dude. So him being back in the building is for his pockets, but also for how the world views Ben Simmons. Because if Ben Simmons is tanked in the NBA and in the media circles and in the public eye, then Ben Simmons is nothing.
Like, Ben Simmons is more of a celebrity than a basketball player. He always will be. He'll always be an incredible talent that never came through. I'm telling you, he won't just sit there and do nothing. He's going to work until he's traded because he needs to. And so, no, Daryl Morey didn't lose anything. Daryl Morey asking for the farm was probably knowing that nobody was going to take it because this was the end result. He called Simmons bluff. Oh, he was right.
Yeah, but we'll see. So you want him to come in there, and I guess him and Embiid are just going to go in there. They're going to shake hands. They're going to go out to dinner. It's all going to be good, right?
I don't care about any of that. I care about supplementing wins on the basketball court until he's gone. And I'm telling you, he's not going to just hold out or hold out on the court a la James Harden. He needs to play in order to save his reputation. It's not even to build his trade. It's not even to build his assets. It's not even to build his trade value.
I agree with you that he's going to be playing, but he's going to be playing like shit because don't nobody there have any cohesiveness. So it's a bad deal.
We did last year, which was number one seed in the East. All they have to do is play literally 15, 20 games, a quarter of the season. I think Ben can handle that for $33 million. He's a max player. I'm telling you, Washington, Portland, somebody's going to start bad, and a trade's going to be made. I'm not saying it's going to be for Dame. I'm not saying it's going to be for Beal. But there will be a suitable trade made that isn't Bones Highland, and the Sixers are going to work out just fine.
Watch him play. Okay, Bones can flat out play. I'm telling you right now.
Proactive and best general manager.
Bones and a bag of chips. Right now, bones and a bag of chips for Ben. That's what I'm saying right now, okay?
First of all, how can you love a guy named Bones in Philly?
You can give me Jamal Murray and re-injure him. I'll go through his whole rehab again to have him, and you can have Ben Simmons. You could have had Ben Simmons last year. You got just the worst Ben Simmons. His name's Aaron Gordon, and you signed him to max money. So there you go. Have fun.
I don't know if you guys could get Derrick Rose for Ben Simmons now.
Lamar, help me out.
I'm sure we could, but I don't fucking want him, Jack.
Lamar, help me out, man. Come on. Ben.
It was too much going on, said, between both parties that they have to come back in that locker room. I wouldn't want to play with the guy.
Yeah. How can
you? I wouldn't even play with him either.
Are we going to our first day of practice, we going to fight.
You had to get it out of the way, right? Walk in and just drop hands right when you walk in.
Embiid would kill him. Embiid was mad at him last year. Embiid would kill him.
Heath, man, you follow basketball.
Seth Murray would kill him. Ben Simmons is a he's a pussy.
No, but there were games last year where Embiid was mad that he missed a free throw. Like, Embiid had it.
Yeah. That shot that he did not take at the end of the season, that's the one that really got into it. But, Heath, do you watch basketball? Do you follow? I never even asked you that, man.
I'm a Hornets fan, but an old-school Hornets fan. I know they lost by 60 tonight, but I've heard about the whole Simmons holdout thing. I mean, he's a max player. Show up. Just don't be a cancer in the locker room.
Is he a max player?
On paper.
Everybody a max player today is NBA.
That's right. And his own coach even said, I don't know about that yet. So, you know, that's all I'm saying right there. All right, guys. We do this little thing at the end of our show called the final thought. So I want to, Jack, since you came back, man, and you're back off of your nice long hiatus from us, man, why don't you give us your last thought?
Oh, my last thought. I missed you guys, first of all. I appreciate hanging out with you. Like I said, I'm working a lot. It's nothing personal. In fact, I like doing this. This is fun.
We are happy to have you.
Taking jabs back and forth and getting some ideas out there, whether they're constructive or not constructive in some aspects, right, towards Ben Simmons. but I was canceled for the past month, and it didn't feel very good. I wasn't necessarily canceled, but I canceled myself because I couldn't participate. And I don't think it's very – it just hurts to everything that we don't like to hear or every noise that we don't like to not at least take it in, because that's life, right? Life is taking in the good and the bad. So let's not immediately or jump to conclusions and just cancel people, right? And this is more to the John Gruden thing. If there are more emails, that's fine. And if you knew about them and it's convenient for you to release them at this time – to push across the airwaves, ESPN, that's not very nice to get somebody canceled because you're trying to reestablish your reputation as a nice, family-oriented organization.
That's my final thoughts.
All right. Lamar, give us your final
read. Big game five tomorrow, Giants and Dodgers. The winner goes on to the NLCS.
Nice.
Excited as a Giant fan. I'm really excited, man. Two bitter rivals going at each other to go to the next round of playoffs. Ain't nothing better than that.
Who's on the mound tomorrow?
Logan Webb and Urias for the Dodgers. So, be an interesting matchup. The Giants struggled against left-handers all year, so we'll see what happens tomorrow. Should be interesting.
I've been actually watching a lot of those, man. They've been some pretty good games out there. Okay, Heath, man, you got a final thought for us?
It's hockey season. It started yesterday.
That's true. Kraken!
Yeah. I'm excited to see what they do. I mean, I'm a Hurricanes fan through and through. I went to Stanley Cup games back in the day.
Go ahead.
I mean, that could be the final thought. I was going to say, Jack, it's good to have you back. Heath, it was good to have you, you know, for the first time. And speaking of the Eagles, I just got three words. Fly, Eagles, fly.
By the way, he got that for his big INT at the end of last week's game, everybody. So
I got to wear it three times. Three interceptions.
Oh, shit.
Hey, we're on. This is week six.
He's
never. Turnover chain, baby. Let's go.
For me, my last word is just simply this. The NBA is back, and I always think that I get into NFL season, and I start getting the NFL blood flowing in me, and so I think that that's where I'm going to go. And then the basketball hits the floor again, and my brain just switches back, because that is just truly my love is basketball. So I am happy they're back. I'm happy the NBA's – this is one of my favorite times of year, NBA, NFL. You can't get no better than that. And, again, Jack, I'm happy to see you back, man. It's been great to have you back again. I hope you can find some more time to do it again. Heath, it was great to have you for the first time, and I hope, anyway, it won't be the last time. I hope you liked our little get-togethers that we do here. You know, they're nice and casual. Okay, guys, again, I thank you guys all for coming again. Catch the next edition. Everybody here has got stuff on the web, theeverydayfan.com. Please go check it out, and we will see you guys next week. Oh, by the way, next week, NFL and college football historian. So, Liam, I know you love the history of the game. I know how you are. This guy is the top in his field, I hear. There you go. See, it should be interesting, man. Jack, you want to come back for that one? Heath, man,
I don't have a schedule yet.
You guys are more than welcome. I think it'll be next Monday. I think he had his, or next Tuesday, or I don't remember.
You're going to have to show him up, because I'm the burgeoning NBA historian, as you know, Jack.
I do know that. Burgeoning.
You know, I don't know if he knows what he's in for. He said he watched some shows, though, and that he's down, so, you know. Let's give him what we got. So that'll be interesting. So anyways, thanks everybody for coming. Hope to see you guys again. You guys have a great night.
Take care.